Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to RHI Magnesita India Limited Q3 FY26 conference call hosted by B&K Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 and nine-month FY26 conference call of RHI Magnesita India. We have with us today Mr. Parmod Sagar, Chairman, MD, and CEO, and Mr. Azim Syed, CFO of the company, joining us in this call. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on today's call may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with risks and uncertainties that we face. The company does not undertake to update these forward-looking statements publicly. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Parmod Sagar, Chairman, Managing Director, and CEO from RHI Magnesita India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajesh Ji. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. The quarter gone by has been defined by resilience and ability to sustain momentum in the face of macroeconomic headwinds. We have maintained our market leadership on the back of our diversified product portfolio, long-standing customer relationships, and agile production capabilities. At the outset, let me start by highlighting that safety remains our highest priority at RHI Magnesita. I'm pleased to share that we have been formally recognized by the World Refractory Association for exemplary safety performance across nine refractory service locations. By enabling safer, more efficient steel and steel production, we are strengthening India's industrial backbone and supporting the 5 trillion economy vision with self-reliant supply chains. This quarter, we maintained our strong market position and achieved record revenue again to the tune of 1,092 crores despite micro headwinds impacting the overall market. We once again surpassed our 1,000 crore revenue benchmark, a testament to our strong business fundamentals. EBITDA achieved at 13.7% in this quarter, which is highest in this fiscal year. Strong iron-making project orders delivered through OEM orders, coupled with good momentum in flow control and 4PRO, delivered expected and tangible returns. Even though the external environment remains demanding, our performance reflects the steady outcome of strategic decisions made consistently over a long period of time. From industry perspective, refractory continues to face structural pressure as domestic overcapacity addition outpaces demand, and oversupply of import commoditized refractory products further intensifies market challenges. A similar situation exists in our core end market of steel and cement as well. And steel producers face Chinese steel dumping, but safeguard tariff of 11%-12% in Q3 and production-linked incentives were introduced by government helped to curb low-price imports. Hence, India returned to a net steel exporter position in Q3 25-26 after six consecutive quarters. However, it must be noted that the safeguard tariffs are only applicable for a specific grade of flat steel products. Despite Indo-Europe and Indo-US trade deals, no further increase of imports exports in steel are to be expected. Cement sector delivered strong shipment volume during this year. However, margins were under strain with capacity utilization between 55%-60% only. With a 10% year-on-year increase in government capex, along with real estate focus launched in recent budget, it is expected to improve utilization levels further. The recent budget sustains strong infrastructure spending across roads, railways, housing, supporting steel and cement demand. The Construction and Infrastructure Equipment Scheme will promote heavy equipment manufacturing, further boosting steel consumption. While the 20,000 crore carbon capture, utilization and storage fund advanced decarbonization in steel and cement. Together, 10% capex growth, the CIE scheme and decarbonization initiative create a structural opportunity for refractory suppliers aligned to steel cement value chain. However, the industry continued to await targeted interventions such as duty relief on key raw materials to enhance cost competitiveness. The above initiatives are positive from a growth perspective for our customers. However, we are cautiously optimistic due to the industry challenges. Our strategic initiatives are gaining traction across both solution-led and product-led businesses. Our future focus for this and next year would be on strengthening the core while delivering sustainable long-term growth. Our focus areas for this year include expanding our 4PRO footprint across cement, steel, iron-making sector. As you people know, 4PRO means total refractory management with sustainability included in that. Focus on our customer relationship, strengthening our iron-making business by enhancing our presence in coke oven and blast furnace area by launching new DRI products, increasing our share in blast furnace runner management and tapped clay supported by commissioning of the semi-automatic tapped clay line in Jamshedpur. Solidifying the HPI, Hydrocarbon Processing Industry business of legacy RESCO from US in India and establish a clear growth roadmap. Continue with our cost optimization program to remain competitive and control the spend with the right trade-offs. Advancing our R&D agenda by optimizing recipe with recycling to support circular economy initiative while escalating new product transfer, development and portfolio harmonization. Maintaining strict margin discipline to ensure sustainable and profitable growth. India remains a key market for global refractory suppliers. With competitive intensity high across products and customer segments. Despite this, we remain confident in our ability to respond to challenging market needs. While remaining mindful of short-term challenges, we are cautiously optimistic about the path ahead. Financial year 25-26 till now demonstrated a resilience, and we are now focusing on converting this into tangible gains through disciplined execution and sustainable market share expansion. We are honored to have received recognition from both Steel Authority of India and Tata Steel Group, affirming the strength of our product quality and execution. Fair part our social governance excellence underscore our dedication to responsible business practices, while Tata Steel naming us Agile Partner of the Year, highlighting our capability to deliver in complex steel making environment. Also, we have received Safety Award from Tata Steel. In summary, while challenges remain, we are confident that our strong fundamentals, disciplined execution and customer focus will sustain our growth momentum. I will now hand over it to Azim to take you through the financial performance in detail. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pramodji, and good morning to all. Let me now walk you through the financial results for the third quarter of FY26. Despite market headwinds, we achieved our highest ever quarterly revenue of rupees 1,092 crores. This reflects a sequential growth of approximately 5.5% over Q2 FY26 and a year-on-year increase of 8% versus Q3 FY25. This growth underpins our strategy in action. This growth was driven by 4PRO wins across steel plants and project deliveries in iron making. Average realization improved sequentially, rising to 80,410 rupees per metric ton in Q3 FY26 from 73,237 per metric ton in Q2 FY26, reflecting an improved product mix one-time performance bonuses, and pricing discipline. The same is reflected in adjusted EBITDA at Rs. 150 crores, which marks a 36% improvement over the previous quarter and 14% year-on-year. EBITDA margins improved to 13.7% compared to 10.7% in Q2, driven by the same reasons which we mentioned for realization. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at Rs. 62 crores, up by 61% quarter-on-quarter and 29% year-on-year. Additional employee costs arising from the new wage code implementation and higher costs due to rupee depreciation pressured margins, which was offset through operational excellence program, which focuses on better manpower planning, machine level loading, and tighter control over discretionary spends. I'm pleased to share that we recorded highest ever operating cash flow at 289 crores in current quarter, representing a 627% quarter-on-quarter increase. This improvement was driven by strong EBITDA growth, disciplined working capital management, particularly tighter inventory control and improved collections. Turning to the balance sheet, we continue to operate with strong capital discipline. Between Q2 and Q3 FY26, the net debt reduced from 200 crores to a net cash position of 35 crores. Hence, net debt EBITDA to EBITDA ratio improved from 0.5x to minus 0.1x, which is first time negative leverage post acquisition. This reflects disciplined capital allocation, robust cash generation, and tighter working capital management. We now have ample capacity to fund working capital requirements and pursue any growth investment without over-leveraging the company. Looking ahead, we remain confident and realistic, quarters driven by a robust order book and pricing initiatives, input cost optimization through our productivity initiatives and normalizing raw material costs. In closing, RHI Magnesita India delivered solid top-line growth with strong margins in Q3, despite industry headwinds. Business fundamentals have positioned RHM Magnesita India for success through strong industrial demand, solid execution and strategy, and a healthy balance sheet. Thank you to all our stakeholders for your continued trust and support. We will now open the line for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Garvita Jain from Seven Island PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. I have one question. I've mentioned that there was one-time bonus received. Can you quantify what was the amount of the bonus received during the quarter? Plus, what are the other factors which are driving the margins for us and the sustainable margins?
Actually, when Dream said one-time bonus, it doesn't mean it is one-time. Actually, in last quarter, we did some ladle and converter lining, and over a period of time, it start realizing in bonus because there's a guarantee clause, and when you are overachieving that guarantee, then you are getting bonus. So that we got in this quarter, and we assume that it will continue that quarter as well. Because whatever we supply to the steel industry on guarantee basis, it is yielding results in terms of bonus.
Yes, you're clear about the process, but I'm asking what is the amount that we have received this quarter and how much are we expecting for the next quarter also?
We don't give those outlooks or the current performance. We don't separate out that performance purely because it's very difficult even for us also to model this because it has multiple factors. One, how many contracts we have. Second is also the performance of the products and when it will be realized based upon the steel production or consumption of our material. So we don't give out these materials. We have never done that historically. We'll not start to do that now. Thank you.
So the amount of bonus cannot be disclosed?
No, we don't do that because of the variability, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay. And the margins this quarter, despite of this bonus, has increased because of what are the reasons, sir?
Yes, absolutely. Without bonus, it's increased.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, yes. Sorry, the question was not
clear. So it was because of the product mix majorly, right?
Absolutely. Because in the previous quarter, we had cement as well. That had a lower realization, right? This time we have not the cement orders. We also have some high-margin OEM orders that also contribute to the increase in the margins as well, despite the performance.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations for a good set of numbers. So what is the total installed capacity across plants and the utilization rate? And what will be the peak revenue if the plant is 100% utilized?
So the current quarter capacity utilization on a consolidated manner is 64%. Again, the basic question is that the installed revenue on overall capacity utilization cannot be directly derived because of multiple reasons. One is the pricing ability. Because as you know, in Chairman's remark, you have clearly heard that we have quite a bit of a market headwind. So the realization rate is subject to, especially for the commodity products, it is subject to the market condition. So you cannot directly consolidate it. Second reason basically also is that our lines are sometimes flexible, which basically means sometimes we can do different product portfolio on the same line. So hence basically what it is very difficult for us to kind of, you know, to say that, okay, fully produced, you're going to get this, because in some months, we have project orders, especially for the industrial, let's say like MF and glass, which has higher realization rate versus a cement brick, which has probably a lower realization rate. It will completely skew up the number. Having said that, the line process is completely different. It's just the raw materials and the recipe that we use are completely different. So unlike cement or steel industry, it's very difficult to directly give an estimate here.
And so the next question is about the recycling percent target. Like currently, I think so in presentation it is mentioned 19%.
Yes. So our target is to take it beyond 20% in coming year. It will be a gradual process. You cannot jump from 19 to 25 or so. You need to see the, you know, products where you can increase without impacting any quality or performance. You know, we are not compromising. We are using recycled material after thorough processing as raw material, not just taking out a used material and crushing and putting it in surplus. It will be gradual, but still we are doing reasonably well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you answering my questions. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So I had a question on the realization. While it has jumped from 73,000 to 80,000 odd sequentially, this captures some part of the performance bonus. Is that correct? So what is the realistic realization growth that has happened this quarter? And what is the sustainable realization per ton? I just want to get a hang of the price increase that you have got, that's all.
Rajeshji, yes, it has an impact on, you know, because of bonus in realization, but it is not that substantial that it cannot underline that it is because of bonus, right? And, you know, it will keep on changing also depending upon the product mix. Like this quarter, Jan, Feb, March is a lean period for cement industry. Okay, so it will have a different impact on volumes and profitability in that particular segment. But at the same time, if you have a high-end, like Azim was saying, glass order or coke oven order, then it also netify it, you know, neutralize it also. So I think anything between 76 to 80 should be, you know,
healthy.
The numbers, the healthy numbers without any performance bonuses, etc.
Also, just to clarify, everybody on the call, what do you mean by performance bonus? This also has an impact on the realization rate. Is that in the previous quarter for these contracts, we have installed the material. That means we have taken a cost in our P&L and we have not realized any revenue or profitability because you earn after the product performs. So there is a lag in the way we earn the money for the cost that we have incurred in the previous quarter. So this also has an impact on the realization rates as well. We call it bonus because it comes a bit late and also depends upon how much performance it gives. So just to clarify that, although it's called a bonus, it's just a lag effect of the materials that we install and the performance of the product. These both determines our performance bonuses.
Yes, sir, that's useful. Just a follow-up question on the margins. So we had guided 14 to 15% margin that we are going to see in terms of normal business coming through in fourth quarter. This is without the project order.
Rajeshji, there's a saying, ye dil mange more. So, happy dil aur mangta hai. Okay. So, but we have too much headwind. I still say we wanted to have a, you know, sustainable margin between 14-15%. This is our wishful thinking, and not only thinking, we are working toward that with various, you know, processes and levers, actions in place. That's why you see this, you know, upside in this quarter. And I cannot preempt for the next quarter, but I think we should be now in this line in coming days as well. Whatever we action taken, it will keep on yielding results in coming days as well.
Thank you so much. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So what would be the export contribution in the 9 months?
It is flat as of now, like last year, 9-10%. You know, market in the international market is so docile. We did a lot of trials, but I think I last quarter also I mentioned this. Maybe in 26th April onwards, we will have some upside in exports because whatever trial we did in this 9 months and are doing in this current quarter, probably it will start converting into order. So there will be some uptick, but at the same time, it will not be, you know, exponential because the export is only isostatic and slide gate refractory, which we call flow control. So flow control tonnage wise or revenue wise is not, you know, it is, as I said earlier, it is about 25% of your total revenue. So if it is 25% and if it increases, maybe from 9-10% it will go to 11% or 11.5% or 12%. It will not be from 9-10 to 20%. Okay.
So flow control contribution also is stagnant, I mean flat YOY, means like the overall, as part of the overall revenue?
There is a bit of increase, but not substantial. Sorry.
Okay, and just on the margin, if you could just give a flavor on the Q4, what we are expecting in terms of margin.
That's what I said to the JSD also. We expect it should be on similar lines, if not better.
Slightly better.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We want to be a bit cautious because of market conditions.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinash Swaminathan from Nafa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congrats on a good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. Earlier, say 5-6 years back, we were completely focused on the steel segment, and now we have progressed into the cement and iron. Is it because of a stagnation in TAM growth in the steel segment that resulted in us exploring this lower margin opportunities? That's number one. Number two, can you also quantify our current market share in steel, cement, and iron? Thank you.
I will take this. I think our strategy always has been to kind of, you know, grow in refractory business. I'm sure if you're covering steel market, you will very well know that the Indian GDP consumption for cement is the lowest in the entire world, especially for the middle class market. Because of this, and also we were also very clearly seeing that the infrastructure spend would be also going higher on the government, from a government perspective. These two factors basically points to a very clear realization that the cement market is going to boom in the upcoming years. I'm talking 2 years back, and today it's a reality. Even in the current union budget, you can see the amount of infrastructure spend was allocated. With this in mind, we wanted to also grow in the cement market, and hence we did couple of acquisitions that kind of, you know, supported our cement growth market. To kind of, you know, to clarify the second question, although it is lower realization, there's gonna be a good growth opportunity. Our strategy from the beginning was that we want to be having the highest market share and grow with the market where possible, or in some cases, outgrow the market itself. For the outgrowth of the market, we are basically focusing more on the ironmaking, DRI, coke oven, and pellet business. Now, coming to the market share, we have about 32% market share on the steel side, and on the cement side, we have up close to about 40-41% of market share in the business. To answer your question.
Thank you, sir. Just a follow-up. In the steel segment, last quarter, we said that the margins have improved to 11.4%. So how is the margin for this quarter?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? The margin was how much, you said, in the last quarter?
So in the last quarter, we were told that the margin in the cement segment specifically was 11.4%. It improved from 8% to 11.4%. So what could be the margin for this quarter?
We normally don't give out the margin separately by steel and cement. So I cannot recognize that number, but
actually, probably you are saying from Dalmia plant.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which is right. It is not cement, but okay. Primarily it is the industrial business.
Okay, okay.
So that is almost at same level, 10.5% to 11% or so.
Exactly right.
Perfect. Thank you, sir, and congrats on a great set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratanjali Srinivasan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So firstly, can you tell me what is the revenue mix for the quarter between cement and steel? And did we get any benefits of new plant commissioning in this quarter?
So let me give you the number for the ratio between cement and steel. So steel was at about 80%. Industrial was 20%, of which cement in particular was close to about 10%. And for the greenfield, yes, we have signed some new contracts with some of the greenfield project with one of the biggest integrated steel plants somewhere in Punjab. Okay, so basically Tata Steel Ludhiana, we just signed a 4-pro contract as well in the month of January, which as soon as it will get commissioned somewhere in the middle of the year, we'll start taking the benefit of it.
Middle of March, probably they have a target to commission. So next fiscal, it will be upside. The business should be on the tune of, say, 5 to 6 million or 50 to 60 crore additional business from that 4 crore business.
Exactly.
And it is end-to-end. Furnace, saddle, ISO, flow control, everything. The first time in Tata Group, you know, strategy, they have given from the commissioning stage 4-pro contract to any refractory industry in the world. So that is a big achievement, I'd say.
Great, sir. And next question I have is, with respect to the quarter, we saw a fair bit of improvement in margins. So can you explain how this margin switch has happened? Is it because of improvement in pricing with respect to product mix, or is it because of a general reduction in input costs? What is the lever that's helping us to generate this higher margin?
Actually, this is, we cannot pinpoint one lever. We are working on many things. Raw material is softened a little bit, yes, but we are saying input cost. At the same time, we did this operational excellence in our plants to control the cost. We start working on optimization of recipes, product, specification to exactly to the requirement of the customer. We start increasing our recycling rate in our plants. We are working on reducing the scrap rate or rejection. So there are multiple things. At the same time, we are very cautious about pricing with our customer. Wherever we need a price increase, we are pushing for that. And at the same time, if the pricing is so bad, we are not into rat race. Hello?
Yes, we are not into that phase
of getting the order at any cost. We have our internal strategy up to what level we will go for an order, or if it is below that, we will not go. We will leave it. So these are yielding returns. Okay?
Okay. So if you had to bifurcate, like we had a 200 bits improvement in gross margin, how much would you see came from internal efficiencies and how much is from RM softening?
Your question was not clear. Bifurcation of what you were seeking, can you please repeat?
Yeah, so the 200 bits improvement that we have in gross margins, could you tell me like how much of it came in from internal efficiencies and how much of it is from softening of raw materials?
So there was a, say if you can, we will, you cannot see that direct bifurcation, but if you have to make an assumption, you can look into the other expenses. Maybe that will give you a very good idea in terms of how we have improved our operational cost as such. From a per ton perspective, that's one of the ways to look at that. But again, it's a super high level, just from an assumptionary purposes, you can use that. On the material cost, you can basically say that although we had a softening in the alumina prices, we had a, this was further negated by FM, graphite and bauxite price increases as well. So so you need to take this number with a pinch of salt here.
Because I do get the broad reduction in other expenses that is taken.
Yeah.
Only thing is the improvement in gross margin. Is it a pricing function where we went for a better quality of product mix, or is it because we had benefits from input cost falling? So I'm just trying to figure out which of it will happen.
As Pramodji mentioned, see, in the previous quarter, we had low margin cement order. So you had a realization impact. This time, you don't have the low order cement order. Second, product mix. So we had more converters, RHT gases that we sold in the current quarter. So you had a product mix improvement as well. Now, what Pramodji mentioning is that on top of this, we had some operational excellence programs, which we do normally. Every quarter, we do this as a part of our continuous effort where we are focused on operational excellence program, which focuses on two things. One is productivity. Second is on the safety measures. So this also aided our benefit because as you saw that our volumes are lower, which basically means that on the cement side, we had lower volumes. The question is, how do you effectively plan your manpower? How do you effectively plan your raw materials and finished goods? So these kind of operational excellence program have further improved our results. I hope that gave a clarity.
Yeah, that explains it very well. I just have one last question. Can you tell me like what is our target with respect to this traded goods volume that we have with our parent, and are we trying to substitute that with a bit of domestic production going forward? Do we have any strategy there in place?
Absolutely. So your voice was not clear, but let me repeat the question. What you answered, your question was, what is the target we are that we are looking forward in the trading percentage? The answer is that we don't have any specific target there. But if you ask me differently, do we want to localize it? Yes, you can see in our investor deck on the R&D page in terms of the amount of new product transfers and development we are doing. Again, the focus is more to get some highly specialized product, especially in the area of cement and some of the high-end technically advanced solution we are in the process of transferring now. Once we have transferred, although we have transferred the technology, we need to localize it to the local market demands. So yes, our domestic production on this product portfolio will increase quarter by quarter. It will be a slow and steady increase because we need to have the product acceptability. We need to demonstrate through various trials, and once there's an acceptance, we will see the production volume increase as such. I think you are seeing this in the trading percentage also going low as well. So over the course of years, yes, it will increase.
Yes, just to continue on that, I get that you're directionally you're moving towards a higher mix. I'm just trying to figure out what would be our long-term or say a three-year target in terms of how much of our volume should we want to keep entirely from our domestic production. Because I think today 40% roughly in terms of volumes is from the traded parent. So what would be a number that we could look at to achieve a couple of years down the line?
So these volumes is not only the parent company, this volume also includes the toll manufacturing as well. So please bear that in mind that it's not like 40% of the volumes we are completely trading. We're getting from the group. That's the first assumption I want to kind of, you know, qualify. The second basically is that if you think about the product transfer, we look at it from you know, how much of added benefit it will have, again, based on multiple factors. One is the closeness of raw material. Some of the products are very closer to our parent company's raw material production, so you get quite a bit of, you know, unique geological benefit. Of course, these products will not transfer. So the products we will transfer is that where we have availability of raw material, our ability to produce the technology, and third, of course, is a solid business case. We only entertain if the business case is a ROIC in double digit. Once these three things gets qualified, that's where we make the investment and ensure that it's moving. At the moment, if you look at it, we are more focusing on our industrial business, which is basically cement and non-ferrous metal and glass. So this is where we are focusing, apart from some of the acquisitions that we have done recently. So this is where we kind of think about how we can localize the product portfolio. We'll not give the percentage because it will tip off the market in terms of what are the products we are bringing in here as well. But we will keep on updating whatever products, which is in product for transfer on page number 17. We can see in the investor deck something similar. We will start to publicize this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations for good setup number. So my question is again on the margins. As you rightly pointed out in the beginning of the conversation that, you know, situation in the market is not so great in terms of oversupply situation. But at the same time, if you look at the profitability of steel businesses, that has improved significantly in last two quarter or last one quarter. So do you think that from here on, if any margin increase could happen, will it be possible for us to take price hikes to improve the margins, or its margin improvement can only depend on our product mix or internal efficiencies? That's my first question.
You know, we always try to get price increases from our customer wherever is possible. At the same time, you know, market is so overcapacity, and you know, if you with due respect to our competition, most of the competition try to grab order at any price. So when they are so aggressive to get the order, to getting price increase become very, very difficult. You know, in one of the cases, I just gave you an example, in one project, cement project, we were at 8% margin, and then the counter came to us with 13% lower margin, 13% negative margin, and one of our competitor took that, and it is not a B or C grade competition, it was A grade, our level of competition. So some people, you know, try to just grab the order to fill their additional capacities which they have created.
Mm-hmm.
So it became very, very difficult to, you know, go and say, I need a premium, I need a, you know, different pricing than the competition. So best way is how you can control your cost, how can you increase your, you know, efficiency, productivity, reduce your scrap rates, increase your recycling. You know, so we are working on that. At the same time, we will keep on striving for a price increase. As you said, steel industry, if they will have a comfortable situation with their margins, definitely they will not be so rigid about price. But mm-hmm. at the same time, industry as a whole has to behave responsibly.
Understood. And secondly, whatever cost benefit we could have taken on account of raw material cost lower, that we have already factored in, and from here on we are not expecting, at least for a quarter or two, any raw material cost advantage to kick in the P&L.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I don't see now, because alumina prices are at its bottom. So it can go up, will not go down further. Magnesia, if we talk about, it has a bit of upside, and I don't see it will go further up. So I can say it can be a status quo for next 2-3 months to maybe 4-6 months. There will not be a substantial delta, upside or downside.
And lastly, sir, because now we are into net cash status, so two things, either will promoters will be willing to buy stake if Dalmia tries to reduce their stake from 13%? Are the companies willing to increase our stake? Are the promoters willing to increase our stake in the company? Or with this cash status, are we more inclined to go for any inorganic expansion?
You know, as of now, nothing is on the table. We have not discussed anything at length whether we want to, you know, buy back those shares or not. Maybe if Dalmia has to come, you know, forward, whether they want to sell it off or not, and then we will take a call whether we want to or not. And about the second part, what we are saying is inorganic that also we don't see in 26. Actually, I personally don't see. I wanted to consolidate whatever we acquired. Okay, but again, if the company will push us, no, this is a great opportunity, we should do that, we will definitely try to do that. But as of now, my idea is just to consolidate, bring the, you know, margin level to a respectable level, sustainable margin, and then think of further expansion or acquiring the company.
Very clear. So at least promoters are not averse to buying Dalmia stake if it comes in the market.
I am not saying they are not averse. We have not even discussed, because Dalmia has not reached out to us whether they want to sell off their shares or not. When they will reach out, then we will talk to the parent company, Stefan Borges, our global CEO, and then we will come to know whether they are averse or not averse.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Thank you.
No issues. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sangvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations again for a record revenue number. My first question is, if you can help me understand what is the percentage of imports that is posing a big competition to our Indian market. What is the percentage to our total demand? If you can give some number. And also, what kind of products are these? Are these largely brakes, or just a bit of color on that? What kind of products are these?
So our export volume, our export revenue percentage for the Q3 number is 11.8.
You're asking import.
Import. Oh, okay. My apologies. I misunderstood it. Yeah. So we basically group this number with the set of the trading percentage numbers. We don't give out this specifically because it gives us a little bit of a competitive edge in terms of the product profile that we import, Sahil.
Again, sorry, I'll just rephrase my question. I meant as a country, the kind of imports that we are having, which is posing a threat to the overall, how it's getting an oversupplied market. So just that on that color, I mean, Pramod sir did allude to a lot of imports coming. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Sahil, mostly, there are two buckets. One is where we have a technological advantage, like our product like Anchor Hearth.
Okay.
Our competition over the ages, years after year, tried to copy that. They could not because of some inherent, raw material available with us. And this is a very niche product. So we cannot make it in India. So it will keep on importing because if our electric arc furnace, this is the heart of that, performance. And that gave us a lot of advantage over our competition. So same way, there are few products, I'll just give you one example. There are few products where we have real technological advantage and
sure.
We have our material over there, so we don't want to, shift it to India. There are some products which we are still importing and we are doing the accreditation in Indian plants. We are doing the trials in Indian plants and gradually we will shift those products to our Indian plant to take this capacity level from 64% to 75% and beyond. So it is a time-consuming process. We are doing that gradually. We understand the market dynamics. If we are local for local, we have advantage with the same product because we are doing the technology transfer to Indian plants. So these are two buckets. One we will not touch. The other we gradually will shift to India. Okay?
Right. Right, sir. And the second question is that in FY25, the total revenue contribution from total refractory management was roughly 41%, as I can see in the annual report. Any sense you can give what that number could be this year? I mean, maybe ending this year or currently where we are on that number?
Ending this year probably will remain same. Next year, we should have an advantage of 4 to 5% upside. Aroda and Tata.
And all those things. Right? Sure. Yeah. So it will go up 4-5%. Okay. Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Suman. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swaraj Mehta from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity and the congratulations on the good set of numbers. I wanted to understand from the induction furnace point of view, could you provide a breakdown of the revenue contribution from induction furnace and ramming mass within your portfolio? And how do you see the market of ramming mass developing? Like how is it going from organized to organized, unorganized to organized? And what matters for induction furnaces? Like is it the cost, proximity or price for ramming mass? Thank you.
When you talk about ramming mass, it is a very generic term, ramming mass. There are silica ramming mass, which people are using. We don't make silica ramming mass. So one product which you are talking about is not under our radar. There are some other ramming masses, like a neutral ramming mass, that we want to pursue. We did some trials. We will definitely be more aggressive in that market. If you talk about induction furnace, I don't know why you're so much interested only in knowing about induction furnace, but I don't have any hesitation to say it is about 500 crore business or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Jayaram from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, my question is also in the line of localization. So we understood that you won't be giving a specific number and clear, but directionally, how have we been in this localization trend when we compared to our last years when we were giving out the trading numbers?
Sir, your voice was not, we could hear you, but your voice was not clear, so we couldn't understand your question.
Is it better now?
Yeah, please give it a shot.
Yeah. So I understood that we won't be giving our trading numbers, which we were giving during like last year con call. So directly, how have we been in this localization journey when we compare to last year, even if it is not a specific number?
Absolutely. We have introduced quite a bit of new products, especially on the iron making side, wherever we wanted to make a, which kind of aligns with our strategic initiative. We were able to make quite a bit of a significant progress. Hence, in the last three quarters of our investors deck, we are making it absolutely clear what are the kind of products that we are doing. Our focus current, so this will increase rather than stable. This will increase. As I said, it has multiple factors. One is our ability to get the raw material. Second is our ability to localize these recipes for our Indian customer needs. Third is trial stage, and fourth is acceptability. So if you think about it, in this four process, we have introduced quite a bit of new products on the iron making side. We'll continue to do so. We have done something on the cement side. We will continue to do so. And now we are also, importing quite a bit of advanced technical specialized refractories for the upcoming quarters as well.
Thanks, sir. So my second question is again a follow-up to an earlier participant. So we were discussing about our margin levers, where we discussed about price increase, internal efficiency, or volume growth. In that, while we were discussing about price increase, with the competition scenario right now, price increase will not be something which we can go aggressive on. But the realization which we are at right now, is that sustainable? Like, I heard the number to be 76,000 to 80,000, the range. Is that range sustainable with the competition intensity right now?
As of now, yes, we think it is a sustainable number in the short term. But, market is so volatile, I cannot predict after 6 months or so what will happen. But as of now, yes, it is sustainable.
At least for 3 months, let's put it like that.
In the total refractory management contracts which we enter, we would be agreeing to rate upfront for a certain period?
Yes. We have to fix rate for a certain period, and then there's a price rate negotiation or price negotiation periodically. In some cases, it's 6 months. In some cases, it's 1 year.
Right. And this contributes to 40 to 43% of our business.
As of now, yes, 40-41%, I think. Or a little less.
It's actually 33% pages for the previous quarter. I think 45% is not the right number. I think one of the analysts mentioned that for FY24, it was 31.3%. In the current quarter, it is 33.1%. Yeah.
Right, sir. So this includes both for PRO and PRM?
Yeah. See, we stopped doing PRM because, as we mentioned, as Pramodji mentioned earlier, that we wanted to include two pieces here. One is the planet piece, which is the sustainability part in terms of how we can effectively get the recycled material from our customers. Second is also the usage of robotics and robotics using artificial intelligence to ensure a safe and a highly productive operations for our customer. So that's why it's slightly different than the previous CRM, but it's PRM is a subset of CORCO. Let's put it like that.
So basically, your question and whatever you ask is right. It is a combination of PRM and CORCO.
Exactly.
In some cases, it's still PRM.
Yeah.
We did not succeed to get the material back or putting the robotic or artificial intelligence. It is very, very conventional PRM in most of the cases. In some cases, it is CORCO. But now, we start using terminology of 4PRO just to emphasize on our customer, on our team itself, that this is the way forward.
Right, sir. So that's it from my side. All the best for you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead. You can go ahead, Neha.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I just wanted to understand, for these new products that are in pipeline, how can we expect their contribution in the coming year for 2027? Like, what percentage can be expected in the next 1 to 2 years?
So if you think about it, if you refer to page number 18 in our investor deck, you can see that Magnesia Spinel Bricks for our cement customers. So we are already selling these products to our customer today. Now, what will happen is that we will localize this production rather than getting it as an imported product. So you will kind of get a working capital benefit here. You have the Mekron Brick for RHT Gases. This also we are kind of, will be localizing the production because, again, you pay lesser production costs maybe comparing to the place where we are importing this from today. Or plus on top of it, we save on the transit time and so on and so forth. So there are various advantages. So some will be additional revenue, some will be you get a working capital benefit. So this is the way we kind of, see this improvement per se. Again, it depends on the product portfolio and other things, but yes, definitely it will overall improve our margin by, by very, very, very lesser percentage, but on the overall, on your net cash performance, you will see quite a huge benefit, Neha, if that helps.
Also, and coming to the working capital part, do we have a lot of stress due to the PSU receivables?
Do we have what? Can you please repeat the question again? It was not clear.
Due to PSU receivables on the working capital front.
Yes, we do have a healthy receivables from the PSU front. We don't see any big challenges today as probably we had once, last year, 1 year back. It's improved quite significantly. Again, that was only with RINL, and I think due to the cash infusion on the RINL side, it's kind of improved. It is getting better and better. Still, we have some collectibles, but overall, we are in a very healthy position with our PSU.
Sure, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
So one question on the sector, IFGL refractories. We've seen a lot of CEO exits. And what is happening in that company? Is the company up for sale, or what is happening there? Are they competing also actively in the market, or what do you see happening there?
Look, we love IFGL. I don't want to give any comments on that. But I am really surprised to see their results. I don't know what went wrong. Only thing is that, they are trying to be everywhere. I don't know. Their core strength was flow control, etc., but now they are trying to be everywhere. Their employee cost has gone up exceptionally. I don't know. Rajesh, you are sitting in Calcutta. I thought you will give us some feedback, but we don't.
Yeah, I think that, industry structure can change quite a bit if IFGL, scales down or whatever, is what I was thinking.
With jokes aside, I think you need to ask them, not us, because you can ask us about FOPRO, about our margins. We will be able to explain this better, hopefully.
That's why I start with, we love IFGL, so, and the management, they are all friends.
Great. That's the comment we have.
No issues, sir. Congratulations once again on your numbers.
Thank you so much, Rajesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Parmod Sagar for closing comments.
Thank you very much, dear investors, shareholders, analysts, for your continuous support. Keep guiding us, keep asking us sometimes, not so comfortable questions so that we are more agile, we are more prepared, and keep on pushing us. We love to be under a bit of pressure to deliver good results. So I can assure you, at RHI Magnesita India Limited, we are trying our best to further improve the results, further improve the performance, and the investor should get their due benefits from by investing in this company, which is having a very strong fundamental, and in coming days it will further improve. So thank you very much for this call and your trust on us. Have a good day.
On behalf of RHI Magnesita India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.